G Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Salt spreaders are out, plows are out, and the snow is coming down in the Northeast. The biggest snowstorm in 2 years hitting the I-95 corridor this morning. New York City could get 8 inches of snow, Boston up to a foot. Reaction continuing to come in to Donald Trump's threat to abandon NATO if he's reelected.
Speaking in Berlin, Chancellor Scholz says NATO's promise of protection is unrestricted, all for one and one for all. And he characterizes any talk of some countries not paying their fair share irresponsible and dangerous. He also promises Germany will hit the 2% of GDP mark on defense this year in line with NATO guidelines. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
The Senate voting now on a standalone funding bill for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. House Speaker Mike Johnson, however, critical of the aid package in the House. The House also planning a do-over today of the impeachment vote for Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. This is ABC News. New warnings about scams and QR codes, those digital codes many of us scan with our phones to do things like pay a parking meter, get a restaurant menu. Now officials say crooks are trying to take advantage.
Erica Pender of Atlanta noticed something was unusual in her local parking garage when she went to pay using a QR code on the parking meter.
I could see like it wasn't really a part of like the fancy signs they have out there, and then I was able to just peel it right off.
Turns out the fake QR code was actually a sticker placed on top of the real one. More scammers across the country are trying to trick parking garage customers into transferring them money. The FBI says thieves will also use QR codes to steal other important personal information.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert again. Some advice from experts. Make sure you're at the correct site after using the code before putting in any information. And a huge drug bust in Colombia. More than 5 tons of cocaine, all of it headed to the U.S., found in a single home. The drug's worth about $150 million. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least one Republican has announced their candidacy to replace outgoing Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher. Gallagher announced he would not seek another term Saturday. Former State Senator Roger Roth has already announced his plan to run for the seat. Roth served as senator from 2017 until 2021 and ran for lieutenant governor alongside Tim Michaels in 2022. Current State Senator Andre Jacques and GOP consultant Alex Brusewitz have also expressed interest in the seat. No Democrats have announced their intention yet to run for the seat. A leading Democrat says Republicans may be setting a trap for the governor if they pass his maps. Congressman Mark Pocan tweets Republicans could appeal those maps in federal court, and if they do, Wisconsin's current maps would stay in place through November. Many Democrats want the state Supreme Court to draw the maps. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
High school hockey tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The WIAA Boys and Girls State High School Hockey Tournaments begin in locations across the state. Later this week will be the regionals, followed by the sectionals. The finalists will head to Middleton, Wisconsin at the end of the month for the state finals. The Wisconsin Girls Hockey Tournament, 23 years old. The boys in its 54th year. NBA, the Bucks getting it together with another win, this time 112-95 over the Denver Nuggets at 5-serve form. Marquette's men's basketball learned learned that they're now ranked 5th in the nation. They are looking for their 8th win in a row in a rematch at Butler. Wisconsin is at home against Ohio State. The Badgers looking to snap a 4-game losing streak that cost them in the rankings, dropping from 11th to 20th in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard.
As I told the team the other day, you want your shooting percentage to go up, take better shots. It's not, we're not unveiling anything here super scientific. Just get good shots.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, stars and some high clouds with lows by daybreak in the mid-20s, a light northwest wind. We'll see sunshine mixed with some cloud cover on Tuesday, highs in the mid-30s. Our winds will continue light out of the northwest. It's 24 at our studios.
Tune in for a special election Tuesday edition, the race to replace George Santos. We'll talk all about it on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, 4 to 6 p.m.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, Madison. It's the John and Gordy Show. And
yes,
how's you doing there, Gord?
Well, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah,
how
fantastic.
You doing?
Well, I'm okay.
John?
You know? You know what? Today, you guys are going to help out a little bit here. I don't have any coffee with me today. It kind of rushed
into this. Oh, don't worry.
This.
I brewed some.
Or did you?
Or it might be brewing right now.
Okay,
but
cool.
We'll have coffee.
All right. Are there coffee mugs?
There are. You can get the one with the Civic Media sticker on it.
Cool. Oh, man.
Thank God, it makes my day worthwhile
coming in today.
Want coffee?
Yeah.
Who wants coffee?
Hey.
I just made a fresh pot of coffee.
Good.
Anybody want coffee?
Over here. Over here.
Does anybody want coffee?
He's making his rounds early this morning.
Sam, get him over here.
Get him
over
here. No, he's got to be on the board. He can't go over. Oh, there he goes.
Oh, man. Now it's some other people. Oh, boy.
It's just a big crowd.
Okay. All right. We'll deal with that later. It's a cold start out there this morning.
It is.
25 degrees and highs today in the mid-30s, a mix of clouds and some sunshine, but it's the 13th day of February. Tomorrow's the big day, Valentine's Day. Boy,
wow.
Oh boy.
Big day.
Better make some plans. Big,
Valentine's
big
day.
Stuff
Ooh.
Going on.
Wow. Jeez.
Don't forget it, guys.
Now,
don't forget Valentine's.
Now, what's the deal here? Like, Fat Tuesday is right after Valentine's Day. Is that how this thing has worked in the past?
Yeah, right before Valentine's Day?
Or is that?
I don't know.
I think it's... Good question. That's I don't think it's always like that.
Because Lent doesn't fall in the same time period every year, does it? It varies week to week.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
It changes around a little.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Fat Tuesday changes around.
Well,
always a Tuesday.
Alexa. When is Fat Tuesday? I don't have Alexa with me today.
Okay.
I thought she was banned from the show.
She has been temporarily banned.
Yes.
She started swearing one day, and we couldn't shut it off, and that was a problem.
Well, that was my
the last
special
day
programming,
of...
by the way. I programmed it to do that.
Well, today, yes, it is Fat Tuesday, the last day of Carnival, and the day before Ash Wednesday. So Fat Tuesday is the intertwining of a period of festivals and feasts that lead to a time of fasting and reflection. Also known as Shrove Tuesday and Mardi Gras, this enduring celebration has many traditions and deep roots around the world. Yeah,
well, that's
Tuesday.
Nice. It's nice. Yeah, Fat Tuesday is wonderful. I love it, and that's why this coming weekend it's going to be a very special weekend for all of us, right?
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll be talking about that a little bit later.
Oh,
right?
Oh, you mean the testicle festival?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
All right.
Yeah, Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras is French for Fat Tuesday. Yeah, I didn't know that. It dates back to the ancient Roman festival honoring, oh boy, something which took place in mid-February. The Lupercalia, I don't know. I wouldn't even begin to know how to pronounce
don't
any
even
of
try
this
that
stuff.
One.
Okay.
It came out, it myself. Sounded like a swear word. Do not say that again.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Where was I? Okay. What else is today? National what day? Let's see. Hang on. I lost my computer screen for a minute. You know, we're having some technical issues this morning.
We are.
And we're trying to just get things up and running again.
Well, let me just say, it's pancake
day. It's a balancing
today.
Act.
You know, it's what? Everybody loves pancakes.
Oh, that's right.
For no particular reason at all, right?
Yeah. Pancake day.
Is that just one of those fake days? Are we playing this
game
today?
No, it's definitely real because I saw on the National Day calendar that IHOP is giving away free pancakes today.
Oh.
That's right.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
That's fabulous. Yeah.
I drive so by happening. IHOP every day. I could just stop by on my way back.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, National Pancake Day. It also raises money for charity. Mm-hmm. IHOP restaurants began National Pancake Day in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Since that day, they've raised close to $30 million for various charities. So thank you to IHOP for doing that. And have some pancakes today. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's see, what else?
Didn't they change their name to iBurger or something? Or
Excuse me.
I think they changed it to IHOB, International House of Burgers. But it was just a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
It was just a temporary thing. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They wanted to sell some burgers, make some fast money, and then they got it. They got in and out of that business.
Pancakes.
Yep. Got back in their lane, you know. That's it. It's National Cheddar Day. Yeah, we'll be celebrating all over Wisconsin. National Cheddar Day. In 1894, renowned cheesemaker Peter McIntosh brought his cheesemaking skills to Tillamook County, Oregon, where it rains a lot and the grass is always green. He taught all the locals all he knew, and next thing you knew, he became the cheese king of America, of the coast, at least of the West Coast. So today there are more cows than people in Tillamook, Oregon. That's where local farmers have since formed their own farmer-owned cooperative, the Tillamook County Creamery Association. We salute them today on Cheddar Day, okay? Oh, boy.
Haven't we really? I mean, we beat out them for cheddar. Yeah. I mean, we make the best cheddar in the country.
No question. No question. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think anyway.
It's also National Tortellini Day. Tortellini. Yeah, those are, I had some tortellini recently. It's a signature dish from the Italian region of, is it Bologna?
Yeah,
Where they claim to have created this stuffed pasta packed with flavor, ravioli, tortellini, and tortellini, is that what, I don't know. I don't know my Italian pastas that well. They're all part of a family of stuffed pasta. Anyway, the most common fillings for tortellini are ham, white meat, and Parmesan cheese. So there you have it. The National Day calendar, Tortellini Day today.
I'll have to get some sometime.
Why not?
Have you know, Stanley Tucci, you know, the actor, Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
He does a tour of Italy for CNN. It's season two, I believe, he's got now, and you should watch it. It's just entertaining as heck, and it's just wonderful. He tries all the great restaurants in Italy, the different styles of food, the different growing seasons for particular vegetables and fish and animals, the kind of animals that they use to eat. But it's just incredible. What a great series. You never think it would be. You get kind of tired of seeing somebody eat, but it works.
Yeah. You know, I forgot one day today. Yeah. It's Punchki Day or Pachki Day. Punchki.
This is that fake day now, right?
P-A-C-Z-K-I. No, this is not a fake day. This is a real day. The sweet holiday of Punchki Day takes place the day before Ash Wednesday every year. This is a Polish tradition thing. And when I was living in South Bend, Indiana, there's a huge Polish population there, just a traditional Polish food all over the west side of South Bend, and Punchki Day is a big, big thing. You get this round Polish pastry filled with fruit, coated in sugar, It's just delicious, but of course, it's got about 3,000 calories in it. a lot of lard, a lot of sugar.
Yikes.
Not really good for you.
No.
Boy, does it taste good.
Yikes.
Custard or cream on the inside. Oh, man.
I would have seen one of those. You know, I'm from Milwaukee, and there's quite the Polish population there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they pronounce them punchki, I believe.
But, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So that's it.
Yeah, you never know it from the spelling here, though. It's like Jen Psaki Day. You know, it's
Jen Psaki Day. I think she has a day coming up. Yeah. Yeah, she's got her own day. Oops.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me, Mike. Okay.
But you never know. You know, she needs a little more experience, I think. But to start off the entire week for MSNBC instead of Chris Hayes, I'm not quite sure that was the best move. Maybe Chris should have taken Friday off instead of Monday. A lot of stuff happens over the weekend, right?
Well, that's right.
Isn't that the day you want your best reporter right in there? And, you know, Chris Hayes is that guy. I know Jen Psaki there. It's just, I don't know, she's good for commentary at times.
Yeah.
Needs work.
She needs, she's just getting some more experience, I think, is all she needs. She's just a little maybe uncomfortable in front of the camera, but boy, she sure knows her stuff about politics.
Well, she does. She does. Let's talk about the other thing here that happened last night. Jon Stewart came back.
Oh, yeah.
To The Daily Show.
And he's going to be there on Mondays, right?
Just Mondays, right. And he was on last night, and it was... They have something on Twitter X. They posted one of his bits on there, and not real funny.
Sorry, really?
Sorry to be a critic about. He was talking about how Trump and Biden are both old guys. Okay. They're both old guys. Not one is younger. Really, they're both just old guys.
Okay.
And that was his point throughout the entire bit, but. It wasn't really. It was a little pointless, I thought.
Well, maybe he's just a little rusty getting back into the game.
Could be.
We know how that goes.
Could be. You know, he said he's like 20 years younger, and he says, "Look at my face." You know, get a preview of what the moon looks like. You know, and he's trying to have fun with that, but he didn't have a lot of jokes tied in with a bit.
Didn't quite go.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you might want to check it out on Twitter X and see how that looks yourself. You be the judge.
Okay. You be the judge.
Take my word for it, although you can always depend on my word.
Well, I thought, he had such a great run on The Daily Show, and it seemed like he was done with it. You know, he had had enough and gave it up, how many years ago?
Oh, yeah.
And to see him come back, I'm glad to see him back, but maybe it just takes a little while to get back into the swing of things.
Well, he had a show on CNN, I believe.
Well, that's true. Yeah. He did do some other TV work, right?
Yeah. But I don't know why he left and decided to go back to The Daily Show. It's a good move. It's a really good move.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Well, a bunch of years ago, I think maybe 12, 15 years ago, I took my son on a New York City trip, just he and I. And we went to The Daily Show. We went to Conan O'Brien and a couple other things around the city and stayed overnight, a couple of nights in New York City. It was great. But being in The Daily Show, boy, what an electric crowd. They really get you fired up there. And it was a really fun show to watch.
A lot of good writers, production. A lot of good comedians there as well. So
good stuff.
Nice to be back, I guess.
Mm-hmm. 19 past the hour. When we come back, there is more blowback on that RFK Jr. TV ad that aired in the Super Bowl. Boy, can you hear this?
Yeah.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM, Madison, the capital city, a block away from the Capitol Dome. And, you know, I haven't seen a maggot at all sliding along the sidewalk.
Not yet.
Going to work.
A little early.
Yeah, it's a little early for them. They don't like to work. Not much, anyway. And when there is something to do, they ignore it. or they try to ban it and prevent it from ever happening. It's not a good thing. And we'll have something on that a little bit later on because it's very, very important. What they're doing is they're going to get rid of green efforts throughout Wisconsin. they don't want anybody saving energy or turning green or even broaching the subject. Remember when they banned climate change from all state websites? They're doing that, by the way, now in Florida. They're picking up on what Scott Walker had done previous about 10 years ago. But they took out every reference to climate change because it doesn't exist. It's the biggest hoax ever foisted off on the entire world. That's what my mega friend in Milwaukee always says. It's like the same old cliched way of describing it. Yeah, that's what they
think. Have they not checked outside lately about how this winter is going around
you mean
here?
The two tornadoes for first time ever in February? No, that doesn't make any difference. No, it's cold today. It's warm tomorrow.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's springtime appears to already have arrived, actually. You know, here it is, February 13th.
Snow is coming up, right? So perhaps.
Well, that's what.
Perhaps we'll
that's
have.
What we think on Thursday.
A
yes.
foot deep mm-hmm. of snow. 30%, 40% chance of a foot deep of snow. Not They're having a big, big snowstorm out east.
Are they?
That's what I heard.
Well, they can have it. They can have it.
Well, yeah, I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. You know, they can cover it all they want in the national media, but no one cares. When it hits the Midwest, that's when it's important.
That's the way it goes. You know, the East Coast, they get all the coverage. They've got all the TV, you know, and network coverage there because they're over there. So when it happens there, it becomes a big deal.
We've got to get the cheese trucks out of the state. You know, we're supplying the entire country with cheese. And when that comes to a halt, look out, folks. No one's having pizza. Yeah. No one's having grilled cheese sandwiches. No one's having casseroles. I'm telling you, man, they depend on us. This cheese state is it. That's what it's about.
So, yeah, when a blizzard happens, the cheese trucks stop rolling.
All right. Gordon, we've got a phone call. We have somebody on the line right now. All right, let's go to that caller. I don't know who it is. Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you doing today?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I actually retired from the DNR. I retired in 17. But I can remember when Scott Walker put that rule through and we weren't supposed to talk about climate change in the official capacity at all.
Right.
That you had to worry about getting disciplined if you... Of course, he'd gotten rid of the union, so he didn't have that protection anymore. But it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, when I go up north now to go deer hunting, and there's either no snow on the ground or a little snow on the ground, and it's 40 degrees at the end of November, that it is just the climate change doesn't exist. And for Florida to be ignoring climate change, it is just in the next Category 5. When they get a Category 5 or 6 hit in Florida this year. that what are they going to say then? Because it is just, that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just completely asininity. It just.
And the thing is, and their voters are rural voters, typically farmers, and the farmers are the ones that are dealing with climate change all the time with the kinds of crops that they have to rotate in, ones that can handle a drier climate or wetter climate. In this case, that's what climate change is all about, a wetter climate. So they're trying to deal with it all the time, and yet the people they vote for don't believe in it. Something I just can't wrap my head around. Don't understand it, but that's the way they vote.
Yeah, I don't know if they don't believe in it or they just say they don't believe in it because it's politically, supposedly, I don't understand.
Yeah, I know, we're baffled. Completely baffled. All right, Mark, thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah, that's from somebody who was in the inside at the DNR having to deal with something like that. They wiped the website. They just took it all out. I mean, that's brutal. Yeah. They could have kept it up and not talked about it or mentioned it or used it in any of the legislation. But instead, they just wiped it off, wiped it clean from all the websites, all the different websites for the government.
You know, the other thing that baffles me is this, I've been pondering this for the last couple of days, the testicle festival that's taking place.
Oh, yeah, the testicle festival, yes.
Have we got any more information about that? Because I was looking into this. They actually have these all over the country.
They do.
Byron, Illinois, and in Ohio, in Missouri, in Deerfield, Michigan, Oklahoma. Yes, Sam.
We're working on booking the owner of the bar that is hosting the one near Madison this year up in Springfield Corners. But I was talking with a member of the band playing the event this year yesterday. He's been going to it for a few years, but apparently the event has been going on for a whole lot longer, since like the late 80s.
Wow.
They've been doing it here. Huh. And it's a big party, basically. They have a big cookout, some bands. Everyone comes to have a good time. And, of course, they serve Rocky Mountain oysters. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen in Springfield Corners this Saturday.
Maybe it hasn't caught on because, I don't know, cooked testicles, is it good? Does it taste good?
There wouldn't be like a slang word for it if people didn't actually eat them, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. What do they call
If we get a hold of those folks, maybe we can have them bring in some samples.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll bring us some samples.
Then it must be good if you have to call them Rocky Mountain oysters.
Turkey testicles apparently are very popular.
Wow.
Really? Bull testicles. Yeah. There's some other animals. Cattle. Well, yeah.
I can just hear this now, Show us your testicles. Show us your testicles.
No, I don't think it's like that.
It isn't like that at all? We'll throw you some beads.
They do have some T-shirts, I think, to give away.
They do.
The member of the band I was talking to yesterday, he says he's never tried the Rocky Mountain oysters. However, they also do like a turkey cookout and I think a pork roast and a whole bunch of other food as well.
Yeah. I guess I'm afraid to even try myself. What if they're really good?
worst things have happened, John.
It makes you feel uncomfortable a little bit knowing that you're walking around with them.
I mean, we're all flesh, John.
Yeah, yes,
Yeah,
well.
It's just, we could go on and on about it, but fortunately, look at the time.
maybe we should. Oh, yeah, we can.
We'll find out more about it as it gets closer, to Saturday. I'm sure we've got, we'll get some people in here that can really tell us what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
I think so. 29 past the hour, news, sports, weather, and when we come back, boy, oh boy, again, this RFK Jr. ad, got more on that.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Wisconsin farmers may have to do some quick pivoting before spring planting to figure out how they're going to control weeds without dicamba in soybeans. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Last week, a federal judge with the U.S. District Court out of Arizona revoked the approval that allows the farmers to use dicamba herbicide products on soybeans here in Wisconsin, as well as cotton in the South. Now, one of the nation's top ag leaders speaking out against the ruling. Chuck Connor is the president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives.
Well, this is a significant ruling, and it's part of a more fundamental problem we have had in the last decade, where the courts have had just too much to say about the regulatory process of the government of the United States. And whether it's EPA or FDA or whatever the case has been, the courts have really sort of taken over from where the experts are.
Chuck Connor, he is the CEO and president of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. He said he was just returning from a trip in Alabama, where planting season is just about ready to begin there. He said farmers are scurrying, trying to figure out what their weed control program is going to look like, also trying to figure out if their retail is going to be accepting what product they already had purchased for at least credit against the growing season of 2024's expenses. We'll keep you posted on what's happening right here in Wisconsin when it comes to pivoting without dicamba in soybeans. Markets and overnight electronic trade as we get rolling on a Tuesday morning. Pretty quiet. Numbers are next.
Fabulous Farm Babe. Glad to be joined in studio today by Doug Munson. He is the gentleman that is working in conjunction with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to make things happen here in the state of Wisconsin. What starts in Wisconsin can have a ripple effect across the United States.
That's what we always hope for, is what are those ripple effects? You know, for every dollar that's invested, it's a return of $12.34. You know, how those investments really bring value, they can be debated or they can be looked at in many different ways. Biodiesel brings, I think we say over a dollar now, you know, years ago before inflation, we'll say, it was 63 cents to a bushel of soybeans that brought that value. Whether it's 63 cents or it's $1.34, which we've heard as high as that amount. That's a huge amount of value to your bushel of soybeans. So those are the things that are ripple effects, right? That can start in Wisconsin or sometimes at the national level, but have big impact in the world of soybean.
Doug Munson, in studio with me on behalf of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, the financial driving force behind our research that's done here in the state of Wisconsin. For more, pop on over to cornsoyexpo.org.
In overnight trade this morning, the corn market's quiet, soybeans trading 3 cents lower, and the wheat market down 4. Yesterday, barrel cheese gained a penny and 3/4. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a half. AA butter on Monday, up 2 1/4 cents. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, stars and some high clouds with lows by daybreak in the mid-20s, a light northwest wind. We'll see sunshine mixed with some cloud cover on Tuesday, highs in the mid-30s. Our winds will continue light out of the northwest. It's 24 at our studios.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
We're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by noses. Yes, when wanting to stick something in other people's business, more people use their noses than any other part of their face. Noses, available wherever olfactory body parts are sold.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, the capital city, Madison. The John and Gordy Show. I'm just really uncomfortable knowing that, you know, if testicles taste good, then and there's a rush on them, and all of a sudden people want more edible testicles to cook and make into a casserole or whatever they want to do with them.
You think there's going to be a rush on testicles?
Yes, I'm thinking, yes.
Grocery stores?
Yeah.
I don't know where they sell them.
And
it's interesting because, they've got the Testicle Festival this Saturday, and we just found out they have them all over the country.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's catching
on. So this is a bigger deal than
it is.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a minute.
Call from a telephone.
Wait. Uh-oh. Hang on a second. Oh, let me see. Oh, I think we have somebody on the line, right,
Sam?
Oh, we do.
All right. Well, that's good. That's nice that our phone service is still working.
Catherine is on the line this morning, our program director. Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good morning.
Good hearing from you. Good hearing from you.
Yeah. Good, what's going
good
on?
To you too. You're not putting me on the air, right? I don't want to be on the air. I just want to have you testicle one more time.
What?
Just say testicle one more time,
really?
And I'll be so happy about this program today. What is wrong with you three testicle men?
It's a thing.
Talking about testicles all morning.
It's important.
What are you thinking?
It's important to us.
It's not. I know. Your testicles are in danger, John. They really are.
They are
so
now, huh?
Okay. Just move on.
Okay, wait. Wait, it's happening in our world. It's happening in our backyard. They're doing it in Springfield Corners.
Right.
We have to talk about it. You won't find this on the evening news. We have to cover these stories, Catherine.
Yeah, This is right up your alley, Gordy. Testicle Festival.
Okay. This is a big event in rural communities, and you don't want to be against rural communities, do you? We're trying to appeal to the farmers and the rural community businesses.
That's just evil. Evil logic that comes from the right. I'm not even going to address that.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay, now, hold on a second. We've got something else for you here. Now, Catherine, I just, we hear you. We're not going to talk about it anymore.
Yes, we are.
We are? Okay. Well, we just want to say one more thing, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Dear Catherine. Happy birthday to you and many more.
It does make it better, actually.
This was a trick to get you to call. Yeah,
we just wanted to wish you a very, very happy birthday and hope you enjoy it all day long. Okay.
I'm going back to bed.
How old are you going to be today?
How old?
100.
All right.
100.
She's celebrating her 36th birthday today. 36 years old.
Fantastic.
Happy birthday, Ken.
So powerful woman.
Oh, is that even close? I don't know.
I have no idea. Must be.
Happy birthday, Catherine.
Yeah.
She's gone. She's gone. Oh boy, we're in trouble.
Yes, now
we got another meeting coming up. I have a feeling.
I think we had just about everything we could say about testicles leading up to that.
You said it again, John.
Oh yes, that's right. That's right.
Yes.
Well, okay. It's becoming a bigger item now than ever before.
Yeah. In more ways than one. Okay. All right. We can move on.
Well,
should
we talk about RFK Jr.'s ad again? Okay.
Oh boy. You know what happened with this? I can't believe it.
Well, it just keeps
getting
worse.
So this is not something that he had any control of. I don't believe this.
He didn't have any control over this. There was a PAC. It's a pro-Trump billionaire PAC. And it's headed up by Tim Mellon. And let me tell you a little bit about Tim Mellon. He's called Social Security and Medicare Slavery Redone, funds Greg Abbott's fake border wall, and he said that welfare made black people belligerent. So this is the kind of guy that supports Republicans, and he's a big supporter of Trump. You know, Trump may not feel the same way that Mellon does. Oh, my God. Yes, he does. Okay. So anyway, this is a diversion.
So why would he sponsored the ad.
He wants a third party out there to take votes away from Biden. That's the whole point for this. And anyway, and by the way, Robert F. Kennedy is basically saying, yeah, that's okay. And he is. He really is. Even though he's apologizing to his family, you know, his Bobby Shriver complained about it. Then another relative complained about it. And RFK said, hey, look, I'm sorry if the Super Bowl advertisement caused anyone in my family pain. The ad was created and aired by the American Values Super PAC without any involvement or approval from my campaign, because FEC rules prohibit super PACs from consulting with me or my staff. I love you all. God bless you. So then you go to RFK Jr.'s site on Twitter, Twitter X, and right there, it's pinned at the top. It's pinned. And what that means is it's the first thing you see all the time. Every time you go to his Twitter X site, it's there at the top of the site. And it's Robert F. Kennedy saying, our momentum is growing. It's time for an independent president to heal the divide in our country. And it has the ad that the Super PAC by Mellon just featured right there. You get to see it every time. But he's apologizing to his family. He's so sorry. He's so sorry for what he's done to them.
He could take that down, right?
He could. He could unpin it. And it won't be at the top of his site anymore. If he was serious, but maybe he hasn't really made an ad for himself. I don't know. Maybe that's the only ad that's been made so far.
Yeah. I have no idea how his campaign is doing as an independent, but this is not good. I mean, I'm sure he's the rest of the family. There's nobody supporting him from his family.
No,
as far as
I know.
There
really isn't. No. Yeah. Now, you know, you got to wonder about his wife in regards to this. You know, she's an actress. And
Cheryl Hines.
Hines, right.
Yeah, right. She stands,
she's very
she
liberal.
Stands by him at all the campaign rallies I've
you're
seen.
Right, yeah. I guess, you know, if you got to support your husband. I guess you got to support your husband no matter what.
Sure.
But it doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem right. In fact, she's...
Something's wrong there.
Wow, what is the show she's on currently?
She's on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's
and
right.
I think they have a new season out.
They do have a new season out, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the last season Larry David announced.
But Larry David is very, 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 very extremely liberal. He recently told maggots where to go, and he used colorful language for it. We won't play that track. But it is very interesting, you know. You know, the interviewer is saying, well, you know, you need this audience. Aren't you worried that, you know, might blow off a few viewers who really love your show? And he told him, no, just go away. Just go away. We don't want you. I don't need you. So,
yeah, he doesn't. Yeah. He's doing okay.
And then
he's
doing okay without him.
Yeah.
So, you know, F yourselves. That's what he told everybody that, you know, is a maggot. Do not watch his show and do that. So, all right.
Well,
can I say
he
that?
He can, you know, struggle along with his campaign and keep going as long as he can. But
yeah.
I don't think he's going, Mayor. Garrett, he's not going to get very far.
No, he's not going very far with this. But it could have an effect, a very big effect on what's going on, basically.
We got another story out of Tennessee. This Tennessee holler story.
Yes.
Let's talk about that, because are the Republicans going to try to round up some people and get them deported if Trump gets elected from Tennessee? What's going on with
Tennessee
that?
Is really an unusual place. If you want to see what happens when we have, like, you know, we have the maggots here at our own state capitol, and they have a gerrymandered majority, right? That'll be short lived, I hope, at this point. But This is what happens when you have that and you have a Republican governor. And so they feel like they could do just about anything they want at that point. And they are. And it just keeps going on and getting worse and more worse than ever before. You know, what they just don't want. They don't want to have anything to do with anybody who is considered woke and liberal.
Well, and the Atlantic had that story of Trump and Stephen Miller, you know, working on this, you know, they got a secret plan, you know, they got all right. these secret plans that somehow leak out to their base, working on a plan for the military to round up immigrants by activating a private red state army that would go to the blue states deporting you know, all these immigrants, millions of people, in fact, immigrants who protested Israel's attack on Gaza. It's a whole big deal. And Stephen Miller, of course, Trump's number one henchman, cooking up all these nutty plans to get rid of people, get them deported, you know, everything. Yeah. It's awful. Yeah, and that's the platform.
That's the platform that they have.
And everybody march along, goose step style.
And it's not so much I want to talk about Tennessee all the time, but they have the best example of what could happen if they have total control, and they don't. And they do not care what the public thinks in polling down there. You know, the public thinks one thing, they think another. They know better than everything. In fact, their excuse is that, well, here we are, the majority. We're the supermajority. The people obviously want us and our decisions to be the priority in this state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good argument, I guess.
Tennessee is a beautiful state. Yeah, it's a beautiful state. I mean, you know, my dad was raised in Tennessee, my grandpa, everybody. And then they moved up north, up to the Northeast first, and then to the Midwest. And great state, beautiful state. The Rocky Mountains are gorgeous. Been there many times. But yeah, the people are just... a little different. They do things differently in Tennessee.
Just a little bit different down there.
Just a little bit off. You know, one state south of Kentucky. Yeah.
That's it.
So, anyway.
No,
looks like it's going
to
be
a deal. And I've got a story in regards to what's going on down there when it comes to schools and what the flag. There's a rainbow flag that they're going to ban down there.
Why would they? Why are we focused on all these side issues? You know, just because they don't have any real platform.
Exactly.
On the other side, on the MAGA side. There's just nothing that they can, you know, they're trying with the border issue, still trying to throw that back and throw some shade on Biden, but that's not working.
No.
So they're struggling to come up with just anything, all these little issues.
Yeah.
All these side issues. Yeah. All right.
Well.
What do you got there?
What do I have there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got some pictures that we can't show. But I want to kind of describe them a little bit. Somebody posted a picture. Actually, it's a picture of five people, and it is all the dictators that you can think of in the world today. All right, Putin is one of them. Iranian leader is another. Okay, so you got a picture of that, right? Five of them. Guess who's guess who's included in that? Donald Trump.
Yeah,
he's in there. He's in there, and
he's in there with Kim Jong Un. Some Iranian leader, Putin, and then Xi Jinping.
Yeah, it's a little dark in the studio here. I'm having a hard time picking up the lettering. But they're all grouped together, and it says, the greatest threat to world peace. Yeah. And this is a German survey ranking the leaders who are the greatest threat to world peace. And the guy who comes in at 41% is Donald Trump.
more than anybody.
Yeah, more than anybody. 17%, 8%, 8%, and 7% for all the other ones. But Trump comes in at 41%. And that is according to a German survey. Amazing stuff.
It was on Fox News. I see the Fox News.
Yes, right. It's on Fox News.
They had this story.
Maybe this is something they're bragging about. Right? we're gonna show the rest of the world that we are a threat to them. We feel strong and powerful now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, what's it coming to? 49 past the hour. Back in a minute.
Matt?
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
African-American soldiers have participated in every major U.S. war, but often served with only black troops. The 1948 President Harry Truman signed an executive order that integrated the United States Armed Forces following the end of World War II. This action supported the rights of black soldiers and is still considered one of the earliest signs of desegregation. Today, more than 30% of the military is black. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I do like that. I do.
Yeah.
Mad
it's
Radio.
So relaxing.
WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM. Oh, just, you know, sit back in your car seat and think of the palm trees swaying overhead.
Yeah. Take a deep breath. Breathe. Breathe.
In this cold, bitter weather that we, okay, we don't have that either.
No.
Thanks to
no.
climate change. Big fan. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go down to Tennessee again. Okay. We got, well, I promised this story. I told you this story. This is going to be a big story. Tennessee rep Gino Bolso. What a name. Bolso. He's proposed a pride flag ban. And he's getting pushback from a lot of people, including Democrat Representative Sam McKenzie, and plus the audience that was there to hear this. And even a pride flag tattoo would be banned. So if you had one of those, they're going to ask you to leave. Let's play the cut 258.
Okay.
And I'm the mother of three children, all of whom attend public school. Far beyond this bill being unnecessary and unkind, it is un-American. Last week in school, my children learned about the Lunar New Year and decorated with lanterns. And next week, they will celebrate St. Valentine's Day with red and pink hearts. And for all of December, the walls of the public school were plastered with pictures of elves and candy canes and reindeer to celebrate Christmas. And despite my Jewish family not celebrating any of these holidays in our own home, none of my children were hurt or indoctrinated as a result of this imagery. If the difference to you between a pride flag and these other images of joy and celebration is that you agree with some and not the other, then I will remind you again that laws must be based on something more than personal dislike. We the people have been warned over and over again to be vigilant in ensuring that American democracy does not tumble into tyranny. This bill exemplifies the casual cruelty that can be inflicted upon our own citizens when that dangerous line is crossed.
Do you agree that ultimately it's the parents who should decide what values are taught to their children, not teachers, with regard to these types of issues?
I believe when they are at school, they are taught many things that may not be exactly what they do in their own home. However, that is part of an education, that you learn more than about your own family.
To the sponsor, what flag does this amendment not allow?
It allows only the flags that are listed in the bill. Wow. And that would specifically include flags that teachers are currently using to indoctrinate students in a particular set of values, including the pride flag.
You throw terms out, indoctrinate. It's one of those buzzwords. Very unfortunate to use, and it's not accurate. I'm a fairly learned man. I've never been convinced by a flag. Learned about a flag, but that's never caused me to become indoctrinated
in anything. What does anywhere a student can see mean? If I have a coffee mug, does that count? What about a necklace? If a teacher has a tattoo that is a flag in this great country, we're going to penalize that person. How is that going to be enforced?
Yes, if someone were to have a tattoo of a flag, that is not permissible. We want values to be taught by parents, not by teachers who try to indoctrinate kids.
I hope y'all heard that. That's extremely dangerous. However you feel about a pride flag, Russian flag, Black Lives Matter flag, about a thin blue line flag, however you feel personally about that, we have to be united pushing these types of attacks at our personal freedom. Yeah. We've got a great teacher out there doing great things for 20 years. Because they have a tattoo on their forearm during their time in the military, you're going to discipline that person. We were not elected to push things like this. There's no indoctrination. If they're doing that, there are ways, there's laws on the books today to deal with that. But to have a flag displayed is not indoctrination.
There are progressives across this state that are trying to take these values that are represented by a flag and indoctrinate children with them. Parents are tired of it. They have put...
We're not going to have any outbursts, or we're going to have the room removed.
Our rules do not allow members to try to incite responses. And that's what the sponsor's doing currently.
President McKenzie, that's going to be up to a lot of interpretation. I'd say that there are some...
Mr. Chairman, I call previous question.
All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
The ayes have it. Moves on to full education.
Unbelievable. Disgusting.
We'll stand in a 2-minute recess.
That's basically how all of their meetings go in Tennessee now. That's like all of the videos that I have watched over the last 5 or 6 months. They're all like that. There's no one in the crowd that agrees with these Republicans. The Democrats are constantly bringing up some of these very exceptional points in their arguments. This isn't based on fear. This isn't based on emotion. This is based on logic and common sense. They bring this stuff up, and they're constantly, on a voice vote, by the way, they're always losing. They're on the losing end of every one of these decisions. These guys are forcing this crap through. They have done nothing in the state in regards to gun violence at all. In fact, they have kicked those two legislators out of the legislature who were voted back in. But they were kicked out simply because they were trying to speak for the people who want some kind of gun legislation so their kids aren't mowed down going to school. And then you heard this. If a guy has a tattoo, he'd be asked to leave simply because of the flag. It's indoctrination, as you could hear the Republicans saying. There are liberals all over the state. Can you believe that they actually are saying that out loud? They weren't before, but now they are, because suddenly liberals are some kind of pariah. They're not to be believed or listened to or even admired or talked to. These are the people we have to drum out of the system. The liberals have to be somehow edged out. And this is what they're doing down in Tennessee constantly. It's an amazing thing to see.
Isn't it something that the MAGA Republicans are always picking on the LGBTQ, the most peaceful community of people that you can possibly think of, that are least likely to cause any kind of trouble or anything except, you know, acceptance? Oh, they just want to be accepted and left to be on their own doing what they want to do without interference. And that's who they go after.
Actually, it's because they're more prevalent, or at least they're becoming more vocal. So people are noticing them more. They have freedoms to say what they want to say, and there are medical issues that they can deal with in regards to transgender. So now, you know, they're feeling threatened. The white guys are feeling threatened for whatever reason. I can't figure it out myself.
News, sports, and weather coming up. Coming back, talking about Hawaii rejecting the Second Amendment interpretation? What? Huh?
Yes.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7. WMDX. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join Matt Nair on Air, 11 to noon.
On Mad Radio, 92.7 WMDX, 1580 a.m.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.